This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dr. Paul Rusilko is here, and this is going to be a very interesting hour. I was telling him just moments ago about reading some information over the last couple of days, really the last week on and off, about who they are at Boston Scientific and what they do. It's going to be a fascinating and very educational hour. And I just want to remind all of you that if you'd like to get in touch and to find out more about what they do, you can go to bostonscientific.com. But let's welcome him now to the broadcast. Doc, it's great to have you here today. So I think we should start off on this very early Saturday morning and just talk about what Boston Scientific is all about and what you good folks do. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you for the invite. And I'm very proud to be part of this segment today. When we talk about Boston Scientific does a huge array of treatments for both scientific as well as healthcare. And where we're talking about today is more the healthcare industry that Boston Scientific is involved with. In particular, their men's health division. And when we talk about men's health division, it can be a lot of things, but the most specific today we're going to talk about is erectile dysfunction. And also they do have segments where they do treat urinary incontinence, where it's the leakage of urine that's not voluntary. Boston Scientific has been around for years, and they've been the pioneers in the industry for helping with male erectile dysfunction, both medical treatment as well as surgical treatments, as well as with the same thing with urinary incontinence, both medical and surgical treatments.
You know, Doc, when you talk about some of these things that we're going to get into after this first break, you know, these are things that are affecting so many people. And it's just nice to know, you know, strictly confidential. Obviously, someone can come and get treatment for this stuff that can be very frustrating, especially for someone who's just trying to live their life, and especially someone who's a little older, who really has worked their entire life to get to those so-called golden years. So this is news that's not just good news, but great news for so many, correct?
Correct, yes.
So tell the folks real quick, so if they make an appointment, they go to bostonscientific.com, what's some of the first things that you kind of go through? And obviously we're going to talk about erectile dysfunction and male incontinence as we move further into the broadcast, but what can people expect that initial visit or that initial contact with Boston Scientific to be like?
When we talk about the initial contact, basically what happens is us as the specialists who do treat the erectile dysfunction and urinary incontinence, we're sort of the second and third level. Patients typically will nowadays find us on Dr. Google, where they'll Google and they'll find, oh, Boston Scientific produces this, and you can go to the websites. The typical ones you can do would be edcure.org, and that is a very excellent website where you can get on it. It goes over this, you know, the general ideas of what erectile dysfunction is. There's actually a quiz that you can take, and not like a pop quiz that you would have in elementary school or high school, but it's an actual quiz where it goes over your symptoms, and it gives you a grading score of how serious the erectile dysfunction that you're experiencing. And then it goes over the different treatment options, and then with it, you can also find the providers that are local. It's real simple. Right on the front webpage, you put in your zip code, and it gives you all the providers that are within 50 miles that can provide treatment and discussion for you on erectile dysfunction. Same thing with urinary incontinence, with the same webpage being, I believe it is the fixincontinence.com. They're both through Boston Scientific. And again, with that, it has a website where it has quizzes where you can go on, find your issues with incontinence, and it can provide you with local providers too when you just put the zip code in on the website. That's one way that patients do find us, is through their Google searches, through internet searches from Boston Scientific. Another way is just having your general annual physical examination with your primary care provider. And it's one of those things where it's always a touchy subject. And as you know, Rob, it's a very touchy subject for both being at home and bringing it up with someone else. But that's something where most men will bring it up with their provider and say, hey, you know, I'm having a little bit of issues at nighttime or in the bedroom. And it usually happens is like providers are there and you're going through the general thing and the provider's walking out the door. And as soon as they grab the handle of the door, the patient's like, I have one more question real quick. And that's where it's brought up there. And it starts off with talking about, you know, general, let's try this. And the first thing you talk about is how's your health, your dietary, your behavioral modifications, you're diabetic, you have heart disease, do you have high blood pressure, do you have stress going on in your life? And those are the big things that you first start off by talking, primary or when they come into our offices. How is your lifestyle going, first of all? Do you need to work on medical issues? Do you need to work on psychological issues? And then also, then you start talking about the medical treatments, which would be issues such as, is your testosterone low? Do we need to check and see where your testosterone level is? Do we try doing medications such as your Viagras, your Sildenafils, your Levitras, your Cialis's? And that's really where the conversation starts, and you start working your way to the appropriate levels from there.
Dr. Paul Rusilko is here. He's from Boston Scientific, bostonscientific.com. We're going to come back and pick up on causes of ED and testosterone. That's something he was just talking about as well just a couple of minutes ago. And we're going to be talking about different treatment options for ED as well and much more. But I think the thing we should leave him with, Doc, here in the first segment is this is something that can happen to anyone. And a lot of these symptoms, whether you're young or old, 20s, 30s, 60s, 70s, I mean, this is some stuff that actually is kind of common, is it not, sir?
It is very common. I see patients in my office for this anywhere from the teens to 90 years old. It can happen to anyone, and any cause can cause anyone's medical issues or psychological issues can cause this. So it can happen at any age.
You know, you just brought up an excellent point. I never realized that someone in their teens could experience this. Why do you think that for so long we've always kind of connected this to someone who may be a little older? Why is that, Doc? And we'll go to break after your answer.
The most common causes are issues that arise later in life, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, coronary disease. And those are things that you more see 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But in the younger population, one of the key components of erectile dysfunction is the psychological component. And so I'll see young men in my office that are just, maybe they've gone through a bad relationship, they're going through stressors with school, love life, financial, education-wise, and the psychological component can have just as much of an effect on erectile dysfunction as the physiological, such as the vascular disease or neurologic issues. So it can really affect all ages of life.
I'll tell you, folks, that's very interesting. You know, that's the first time I've heard anyone really talk about the psychological aspect and how it can affect someone with ED. So we're going to come back. It's bostonscientific.com. Doc and I will be here until 7 o'clock. Lots to get to. So we're going to come back and talk more about causes and other things as well. So I hope you'll stay with us. And remember, that website is edcure.org. All right, or fixincontinence.com. We have a lot to get to over the next 45 minutes. Please stay with us. Short break, and then we'll be back with more Pittsburgh Works. Rob Pratt, and it is Boston Scientific on this Saturday. Good morning. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Boston Scientific, Dr. Paul Rusilko is here. And, Doc, before we kind of pick up on some of the other aspects that you alluded to earlier as far as the causes for ED, prostate cancer, treatments such as diabetes, heart disease, all of that, let's just kind of go back and talk about something that I think was really something important that you hit on in the first segment, psychological and what your mind can do to you, even when it comes to erectile dysfunction. Talk about that a little bit more, because you were talking about how you have treated people, you know, even in their teens because of issues that they're having with erectile dysfunction. You want to pick up on that, sir?
Sure, I'd love to, Rob. And so when I have my first standard consultation with a patient in the office, and again, I can see patients that are in their teens and their 20s, high-performing athletes, you know, very active individuals, I go over the causes. And again, everyone knows vascular. But when we do it, I really talk about the three main causes, and they're all one-third responsible for erectile dysfunction. You have vascular, which everyone knows, heart disease, diabetes. You have neurologic, say if you've had a stroke, spine surgery, some type of pelvic surgery. But what is just as important as those two is the psychological component. I also go into sometimes hormonal, which is not as important as those as the big three. But when we talk about psychological component, we always hear performance anxiety. And it is actually a medical diagnosis, performance anxiety, where patients come in and they're, you know what, I'm not doing well in the bedroom because I'm so anxious. You know, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. You know, I have grades going on. I have financials going on. I have school going on, you know, stuff going on at work. That right there, as soon as that ball starts rolling, it triggers a neurologic involvement of your sympathetic nerve system. And if you've ever heard of the saying fight or flight?
Absolutely.
Back when we're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, do we sit there and fight it or do we run? And that's what's going on in your body. You have two neurologic systems, the parasympathetics and the sympathetics. The sympathetic is your flight. I'm going to turn and run. That's your performance anxiety. The parasympathetics is I'm going to stay there and fight that tiger. And that's your erection right there. That's the heat of the moment, the parasympathetics. They do not want, if one's running, one cannot run. It's like the pistons in a car. They do not both go at the same time. So if you have that anxiety going already, it's not going to allow the parasympathetics or that fight mechanism to give you an erection to go. And that right there, you're starting behind the eight ball right off the bat. And that's that psychological, you know, component that is of erectile dysfunction. It can happen to anyone, 21-year-olds to 91-year-olds. And that's one of the first things I talk about patients, to let them understand what's going on first with their body before we go into the other options where you talk about lifestyle, you talk about medications, you talk about surgeries. So that's one thing that you always want to make sure patients are aware of first.
You know, and lastly, before we move on to other causes, it's simply that we live in a society today that sadly, sexual performance is always out there, and it's always some sort of barometer as far as how you are as an individual being a male. And sometimes when you're young, you buy into all of that stuff, and it can really be an uphill battle from day one. So what you're doing is really giving people a chance at a very young age to start down that right road. Is that a fair statement, Doc?
Very true. Correct.
All right. Now, let's talk about vascular issues. Pick up on that a little bit. Diabetes, medication. How does this really affect erectile dysfunction, sir?
Well, as we mentioned, the big three, vascular is really the most common component that we see, vascular disease. And when we talk about vascular disease, it could be a wide variety. Most common would be such disease entities as diabetes, decreased blood flow peripherally. And when patients have diabetes, what happens? They'll lose their vision because you have the smallest arteries in the body or the ones in your eye. Erectile dysfunction, extremities, so it affects the smaller vessels in the body first, decreased blood flow. High blood pressure, coronary disease. A lot of the medications that you have to take, say, you know, beta blockers or medications you take when you have coronary disease, decreases the blood flow to the peripheral. When I say peripheral, I mean that's the furthest out blood vessels in the body, the smaller blood vessels. And so it decreases the blood flow through them. And right there's erectile dysfunction. Actually, what we do recommend is when patients do show up with erectile dysfunction is an underlying marker for cardiovascular disease. And so that's one thing where we always make sure, are you following with your primary care? Have you had your regular annual visit? Because patients, the first presentation of having underlying cardiac disease is erectile dysfunction. And so that just shows you the importance of blood supply and vascular disease for erectile dysfunction.
You know what amazes me, too, when you think of ED can be the result or precursor to prostate cancer treatment, diabetes, and heart disease. So in other words, maybe somebody comes to you for ED, but you actually help them because you find out that there's some underlying problems that maybe even as a young person, they would have never thought, even looking at them, there was an issue. So this is a win-win of what you're doing at Boston Scientific, Doc.
Yes.
Now, this is the term that I've heard so much in recent years when you talk about ED. It's low testosterone. Before you get into that and how it causes ED, when did that become fashionable to be talking about testosterone and it being low in various males in this country and around the world, Doc?
Well, low testosterone is something that you're seeing a little bit more on the market with, you know, advertisements and men's clinics that are popping up because it's something that can be treated medically in the office, whether you're taking topical patch or you're taking an injection for it. But it's something where the side effects of having low testosterone or low T, or what it actually is hypogonadism, meaning you have lower sexual hormones, low testosterone, is you'll get more side effects of decreased energy, decreased libido, which is the sex drive, And those are some of the side effects of having low testosterone. So when we talk about treating erectile dysfunction, it's more treating the symptoms of, the decreased drive, the decreased libido, the decreased energy, and trying to get patients to have more energy, more libido, more sex drive with replacement therapy with testosterone.
You know, one of the things that I've heard that people have gone through the procedures of dealing with low testosterone, when that kind of gets balanced out and they kind of get put back in the proper category, it not just changes their life in the bedroom, but it changes their life overall as far as having energy that they have not had in a long time. They feel better. They have the ability to want to get out and maybe lose some weight, exercise a little bit. So it gets back to that win-win category by going in and seeing you and the others at Boston Scientific. You find out you have low testosterone, but you help them more than with just erectile dysfunction when it comes to low testosterone, Doc.
Correct. And I mean, when we talk about initial evaluations for patients coming in the office, it's part of the initial workup for our patients. We talk about, their medical, their sexual, their social, psychological evaluation, as well as physical examination. And then we do a laboratory evaluation too. And what one of our guidelines are is to check patients' first morning serum testosterone levels as our initial evaluation to see if they do have low T or hypogonadism. And then as you're talking about symptoms-wise, decreased energy, decreased libido, and testosterone is an amazing treatment option in those select patients where they have that. And it can not just help with, in the bedroom and erectile dysfunction, but it does help overall life. I mean, more energy, you're able to get out, work, be more physically active, and that can help with other disease processes such as, diabetes or high blood pressure or heart disease.
EDcure.org is where you can find out more. BostonScientific.com as well. We're going to come back and talk about the different types of treatment. But before we go to a break, we only have about a minute here, Doc. Just kind of once again, I've often said it's about that relationship that you build with a physician. And I just want my audience to understand that there's a great deal of comfort you'll get. And you'll have that confidence, and you'll also have that well, folks, that secure feeling that what you're going through is between patient and doctor, and you'll have that chance to sit down and meet these incredible people and have a chance to express who you are, what you're going through. But I want people to know about confidentiality and how there's no need for concern. About a minute or so before the break, that I just want them to feel the need of, hey, if they're dealing with some of these issues, Boston Scientific is the place they need to go. So let me give you a minute on that, Doc, and as far as patient-doctor relationship, and then we'll go to the bottom of the hour, get the news in here, and then we'll come back and talk about different treatments and options for ED. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Rob. And we take great pride as physicians in our patient, our provider-patient confidentiality, and everything is completely left inside that room. It's never taken out of that room. It's all completely confidential. And even just starting out by using the website, as we talked about, edcure.org, you can get on and you can take a confidential test where it gives you your ratings of erectile dysfunction. It talks about the various treatment options. So this is all stuff that you can do in the privacy of your own home before you even talk to anyone, a family member, spouse, or your primary care, or a consultation with a urologist or a clinic. And then you can go through and you can already get what your idea is, what the treatment options are, what your level of erectile dysfunction right there from their website. And then you can put in your zip code and it gives you the providers who are trained through Boston Scientific, who are experts in the field of erectile dysfunction, where their office is, where their number is, and it's a simple, just real quick call. They put you in for a confidential consultation, and we're in, and we take care, and we take great pride in our confidentiality, and with just being there, we're living the dream. We're helping men and patients, have a better life.
Well said. Dr. Paul Rusilko is here, and we're going to come back. EDcure.org, EDcure.org. Dr. Paul Rusilko and me back with more of Pittsburgh Works, Boston Scientific, in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. Good morning. All right, we're back with more of Pittsburgh Works on this Saturday morning. Dr. Paul Rusilko is here. He's from Boston Scientific. Again, that website, edcure.org, edcure.org. Now, I want to get back to what we're discussing today, and of course, it's erectile dysfunction. Currently, Doc, there are five FDA-approved treatment options for erectile dysfunction. So what do you say we begin with oral medication, sir?
That's perfect. So when we talk about our treatment options, again, I'm going off of the FDA-approved as well as we go off of the American Urologic Association guidelines for recommendations on treatment for erectile dysfunction. And so when we talk about the main options, that are recommended and are approved. The first one would be oral medications. And the first one that everyone knows is vitamin V, I call, or Viagra. We also do have sildenafil, which is the generic form of it now, which can be prescribed. You have other medications such as Cialis, Levitra, to go down that route. But that's the first one that most everyone is usually started on. And most of the time when I have patients I see the consultation in the office, they've already been started on it via their PCP or their endocrinologist or their cardiologist have already started them on that. That's usually the first treatment option that we start with for patients is phosphodiesterase inhibitors or like your Viagras, your Cialis, your Levitras.
You know, Doc, one of the go ahead. One of the things that people just need to understand, this is stuff that you need to really have a thought process with your physician to get prescribed. Many people think you just go in and ask for it, but there's more to it than just getting the little blue pill, correct?
Correct. And that's a very good subject to bring up because nowadays with our access to the websites and internet and you'll see advertisements for, oh, call this number, call that number, call this number. Oh, we can send you prescriptions in the mail. It is a prescription. It needs to be prescribed by a physician. And the most important thing is you need to make sure that you're a right candidate for this medication. And you want to make sure that who's evaluating for you, make sure that it's the right medicine for you, that you're not going to have side effects, that it's going to be the appropriate medicine, the appropriate dose for you. And again, that's where we always have our recommendations is, us as urologists, you're trained. We've gone through years and years of education and training in treating genitourinary issues, erectile dysfunction, to make sure that we're treating the patients with the right prescription, the right medication, the right dosage for this. And so that's something where that's very important for patients to make sure that they've been evaluated appropriately, that the provider who is prescribing the medicine understands their medical background. Do they have issues with coronary disease? Have they had heart attacks? Are they on nitroglycerin, which is a contraindication to trying these medications? Other issues such as, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, and sometimes you can have adverse reactions. So you want to make sure that you're an appropriate candidate for that medication and also that the prescriber is someone who is trained and educated in erectile dysfunction.
All right. Well said, Doc. Now, do you want to move on to injection therapy or do you have anything else about oral medications?
That's pretty much the standard with, you know, oral medications are pretty simple. One thing that I do want to mention, and the most common thing that I'll have when patients, as I said, most of them come into the office, they've already been on it. But when we look at it, you need to make sure you're taking it correctly. And the majority of these medications, you need to make sure you're taking basically on an empty stomach. So I tell patients you take it on an empty stomach without having anything to eat or drink 1 hour before you take the pill. And also the pills usually take, you know, 30 minutes to an hour for it to circulate on their own and actually be beneficial. So you have to make sure you're taking it correctly. So that's the big thing about the oral medications. Do you have any other questions about the oral medications before we go on to the next round of treatments?
No, let me just say this, though. Do people, after having treatment with you, and I'm talking more than just prescribing that pill, can some people eventually, we talked psychological earlier, can they maybe get off of the Viagra and have a so-called sex life without the oral medications? Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Okay.
It very well happens. And so those gentlemen that we talk about, the psychological component, and once they understand that performance anxiety and how it's affecting their ability to have an erection, where they've already been on Viagras and Cialis, and they're like, it's not working, it's because it's a different mechanism that's causing the erectile dysfunction. So once you learn that psychological component, sometimes you can get off the medications because that's not the mechanism that's causing the erectile dysfunction.
Well said, Doc. Okay, let's move on to injection therapy, sir.
Okay. So when we talk about other rounds, we have injection therapy. Before we go into injection, I'm going to try to go from the least invasive to the most invasive. So the next one we can use would be something called a vacuum erectile device. And I don't know how many of our listeners have seen Austin Powers. You know, Mike Myers, the guy who does, Austin Powers?
Right.
Or the Swedish penis pump. And that's what a vacuum erectile device is. It's a device the size of a Pringle can that you use to actually vacuum and draw in blood into the penis. You put a rubber band around the base of the penis. And that's something that's not taking a pill and you're sticking an injection in. That's one option that is FDA approved to use for patients. Next one we'll talk about would be injection therapy. And when we talk about injection therapy, you have really two types. You have the one that's more mainstream, which would be actually using a needle and injecting medicine directly into the penis. It's called intracavernosal injection. You have Cabergex, you have Edex, you have Prash, you have Trimix. Those are some of the various brands that you can use for injection therapy. Another type of injection therapy, or it's called a suppository, is where you insert a pill into your urethra, which provides the same medication dosage too. So those would be the two options that you'd have for injection therapy that we would talk about for FDA-approved medication.
All right. What else do we have, Doc, as far as treatments and options that have been approved by the FDA?
And then finally, after that, we talk about prosthesis surgery or penile implants, which would be the other option that we would have that's FDA approved.
Okay, talk to me about that. And we're also going to talk about satisfaction rate for the implant. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So a lot of people, when they come, it's very hard for patients to come in and say, hey, I want to have surgery, because it's a very, you know, difficult topic to talk about having surgery in this region. But it is actually a very satisfying surgery for patients. And we'll go over the satisfaction rates for both patient and their partner. The surgery itself does, I mean, it's usually after patients have tried the myriad of other options. We talked about the oral medications. We talked about the vacuum pump. We talked about injection therapy. And if patients are still having issues with those, the next line we talk about is penile prosthesis surgery. So when we talk about penile prosthesis surgery, we really have three main types of penile prosthesis. Well, actually, I'll divide it two. You have a malleable, which is basically like a pipe that you put in, and it's something there. It's forever. You can have an instant erection whenever you need it. There's no pumps. There's nothing else needed. There's no other surgeries for replacement down the road. It's a surgery that takes relatively 30 minutes, and you go home same day of surgery. That's one type of penile prosthesis. The second type of penile prosthesis is a little bit more involved. It's an inflatable one. So it's just like it sounds. It's inflatable, where when you're not using it, it's deflated. It's like a deflated balloon. You don't feel anything. It's there. And then when you need it, you activate a button, and then you have a inflated balloon or inflated prosthesis. You're able to use it for as long as you want. You hit a button, it's deflated, and it's gone. All prosthesis or penile implants are completely concealed. They are not visible from outside the body. They're not. Everything is underneath the skin. It's concealed. So that's one thing that patients are, is this going to be visible for my partners or anyone? It's not. Everything is concealed under the skin. Secondly, that's the big thing there. Surgeries themselves are all typically same-day surgery. The majority of the patients go home from PACU. Once they wake up, they go home the same day that they've had surgery, the majority of the patients. The surgery itself takes anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour and a half. The recovery time for patients, which is always a big question, is it usually takes a couple days of recovery, just as standard for any surgery that you have. You have a couple days of recovery. And then with penile prosthesis or implant surgery, usually you have a follow-up in about 4 weeks, and that's when you're healed and you're ready to start using your implant, at about 4 weeks after surgery for patients. When we talk about it, something you mentioned earlier about satisfaction.
Right.
First, when I talk to patients, we talk about, you know, your standard complications. And complications would be the same as any surgery you have. If you had surgery for your prostate to be removed, or if you had your kidney removed, it's the same general risk. But for prosthetic surgery, the risk would be if you have an infection or an erosion. And in patients who have good health and have gone through medical clearance, the rates of infection or erosion are less than 1%. So it's very, very, very low for significant complications related specifically to the surgery. Patients go, oh, what's the success rate? Well, I'm going to tell you this. The success rate is 100%. And when we talk about it, you look how you're going into surgery. You're not functioning. You're not having success. After surgery, you're going to have something you're able to use. So you're going to have something. You're going to be success. You're going to have success from the surgery. So that's one thing that patients like to hear. Look, you're going to come out of surgery much better. You're going to have something you're going to be able to be functional with. The big thing I talk about is the satisfaction rates. And when we talk about satisfaction rates, I'll talk about both the patient satisfaction and their partner. When we talk about satisfaction rates for the patients alone, you can go through the literature, and I have a little handout that I always give patients. It's a great one that's provided from Boston Scientific and from edcure.org. It goes over the literature that we have available and showing that satisfaction rates for patients alone are up to 98%. That means out of 100 patients that have been interviewed after their surgery, 98% have said, I'm satisfied. I would have it again, and I recommend it to Bob or Jim or Joe in the locker room. And that's a big part of my office where I'll say, you saw Joe and you fixed him. I want the same thing he had. And that's a big thing that I see in my office for referrals are from people who've had it done.
Absolutely. Listen, I got to get a break in here. We'll come back. We're going to finish up talking about erectile dysfunction in the last segment. We're also going to talk just a little bit about male incontinence as well. But they're going to be back with me next month. But this is the website that you need to remember, edcure.org, edcure.org. We'll be back one more segment with Doc and I. And this is Pittsburgh Works on News Radio 1020 KDKA. Good morning. All right. Just a couple of minutes left with Dr. Paul Rusilko. And again, edcure.org. edcure.org. And again, Dr. Rusilko, hopefully will be back with us next month, but if not him, someone from Boston Scientific. But I wanted to give you just a minute to kind of wrap up on ED. We were talking about penile implants and how insurance, especially Medicare, in most cases covers it. And then I want to talk just briefly about male incontinence, something we can pick up more in detail next month. But first, let's talk insurance. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, and that's a very important question that always is brought up when we are talking about implants with patients. And yes, insurance is the majority of private insurance as well as Medicare do cover implant surgical procedures. It does vary due to individual coverage themselves and option plans that they do choose, but it is covered by majority of private insurances and Medicare.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about a male incontinence and what is urinary incontinence. Tell me about that.
Urinary incontinence is the involuntary leakage of urine. And when I say involuntary, I mean it's just urine that leaks without the patient's awareness of needing to go or urinating itself at the restroom. So leakage of urine without voluntary command. And that can be both by stress incontinence, which is where, say, you cough, you laugh, you're picking something up, you're swinging a golf club, you're picking up your grandkids and you have leakage, that's stress urinary incontinence. And urgency urinary incontinence is where you're just sitting there and you're saying, oh, I gotta go, and you leak before you make it to the restroom. Those are the two main types of incontinence.
Is this something like, you know, ED, is it pretty common in the male population, sir?
It's not as common as erectile dysfunction. Because various, you know, like diabetes or high blood pressure or heart disease does not affect it. It's more found in patients who are treated for, say, prostate cancer, where everyone who's had radiation therapy or surgery for prostate cancer will have some type of degree of incontinence or leakage of urine. The overactivity the urgency is seen in general populations where, again, it's not as common as erectile dysfunction, but it is present.
I want to remind everyone that the website for this, bostonscientific.com, is fixincontinence.com. Just, we've got about 2 minutes. Just some of the different types of treatment. Obviously, you talked about it being caused by a number of situations, but what are some of the things that you're doing to help with urinary incontinence, Doc?
Sure. The main thing that us as urologists see in the male population is stress urinary incontinence, and it's from previous, most likely patients have had surgical procedures such as having their prostate removed or having radiation therapy for prostate cancer. So that's the big thing where I see patients post-prostate cancer treatment. Everyone will have some degree of leakage, but what we talk about is the majority will regain some function or if not all function within 6 to 12 months afterwards. It's that population after 6 to 12 months where they're still leaking, and say it's a hassle where you're swinging a golf club, you're picking up your grandkids. And that's where we talk about treatment for that. And when it's stress urinary related, you can do various options that are not surgical, meaning you can do physical therapy to strengthen the muscles. You can do clamps to help try to control. You can wear pads or have surgery. And surgery is an excellent option in this population because it can get you dry right away. And the big thing patients are, I have to take a suitcase on a weekend trip just with pads for my incontinence. And we have two types of treatment options surgical-wise here at Boston Scientific. We have a male sling, and then we also have an artificial urinary sphincter, which are both surgeries, again, same as for the implant for the penile prosthesis. These surgeries for urinary incontinence take about an hour to an hour and a half, and you go home same day you had surgery. And it goes from leaking 5, 10, 15 pads a day down to maybe zero. You're dry, or maybe you may need to wear a safety pad, but it's significantly immediate improvement in quality of life for these patients for a surgery that does have low risk and maximal high benefits for them.
Fixincontinence.com, Boston Scientific, Dr. Paul Rusilko. Doc, thank you so much. It's been a very educational hour, and already looking forward to our next visit. I hope you have a great weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you, Rob, for the opportunity, and really appreciated it.
All right. Good stuff. Dr. Paul Rusilko. And again, bostonscientific.com. But let me give you these very important websites again. Edcure.org, edcure.org, or fixincontinence.com. That's fixincontinence.com. So stay with us, folks. We are just beginning this very long Saturday. We'll get back into some open talk the next couple of hours. We've got Melinda coming back with the news in just a little bit. But again, I want to thank Dr. Paul Rusilko for joining me today, Boston Scientific. Again, edcure.org, edcure.org, or fixincontinence.com. That's fixincontinence.com. And remember, the main one, bostonscientific.com, to find out everything that you need to know. Back with more Rob Pratt Saturday on News Radio 1020 KDKA. Good morning.